Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. When I was about to become a mother for the second time, I had a scheduled C-section. And I received a phone call from a fellow mom who had also had a scheduled C-section. Previous to that, she had had a couple of cesarean deliveries, but after some time in labor. She called me and she said, "There's something I have to tell you because I didn't know and it scared me. And I don't want you to be scared the way I was in the operating room." She said, "Babies delivered by C-section, particularly if the mother has never gone into labor, they do not cry immediately." I was expecting to hear my child cry. I'd been in labor with the other babies enough that the magic had done its trick, the body had done its trick. But when my daughter was born and delivered by C-section, there was no cry, and my ears longing to hear that sound that let me know there was a vibrant, healthy baby, heard nothing. And I panicked, and I thought that something had gone wrong. But the doctors explained to me, and she did cry good and loud after that, but the doctors explained to me that it is labor that helps a baby expel the fluid in its lungs enough to cry. Of course, inside the womb, the baby's in fluid. But all those contractions and the pushing and the journey down the birth canal, that pushes, forces the liquid out of the baby's lungs. A baby that has not taken that difficult journey, not been pushed and squeezed and compressed so many times, needs a doctor or nurse to remove the fluid from its lungs. Otherwise, it cannot take a big, deep breath and let out that healthy wail. Otherwise, if it does cry, it might sound gurgly and like the baby is drowning. I was so grateful that she told me that, because that's indeed what happened. William was born perfectly healthy, but needed a medical team to open his lungs so that he could take a nice, deep, healthy breath and make some noise, and has hardly stopped making noise since, right? Nice big breath, thank you. A good illustration, William. And it's nature's way. It's nature's way of strengthening the body of the infant coming into the world so that it can literally draw breath. And of course, we know there's all kinds of strength that it brings to the birth parent's body as well that has to find other sources of strength without that journey, hard and painful though it is. Just like a moth or a butterfly emerging from a cocoon. Remember that I told you how the caterpillar's body has broken down into this goopy, oozy caterpillar soup to be reformed into the moth or the butterfly that it will be. And so inside the chrysalis or the cocoon, there's still a lot of moisture and stuff happening. Those wings, if they're too waterlogged, cannot open properly. And the pushing and the breaking out of the chrysalis strengthens the wings and pushes out some of the moisture from them. And that body that has just been formed, that muscles never tried, the strength of it never tested, it can't find the strength and power. But the pushing out, the breaking free from that chrysalis strengthens this emerging butterfly so that it can spread its wings. We'll also see, if you've ever seen a newly hatched butterfly, it will spend a lot of time just kind of pumping its wings too, kind of like practice. And I imagine that must hurt like when you've never tried a muscle before. Now my arms are a little sore from not only just the lifting the weights with the children those few times, but I had to carry them across the street too, okay? And your shoulders get tired from work that you haven't done before or you haven't done in a long time. And so that the butterfly will spend some time, or the new moth will spend some time, drying and stretching its wings and testing that strength before it flies. But a butterfly that can't fly cannot survive. It can't find food. It can't find a mate. Not that that's going to be even relevant, because it's not going to live very long. It can't get away from predators. It's a really glamorous, showy, sitting duck bug for a hungry bird. And it will die very quickly without the strength to fly. So we might think, like Locke in Lost, that if we cut open the cocoon or the chrysalis, we'd be doing that moth, that butterfly, a favor by clearing the obstacles so that it can be free. But sometimes those obstacles are what makes us stronger. We don't have to have the obstacles because it's God's will or God's plan, but because coming through that is what's going to make us stronger. It doesn't make the suffering redemptive, but it does redeem the suffering some. And it is true that that which does not kill us makes us stronger, more powerful, ready to fly, to stretch our wings. Now, as you know, I've been excited about this series about butterflies because I get a little nerdy and geeky about the science behind them. And I do believe that the more we know about the science of things like birth and caterpillars turning into butterflies or moths and then emerging from their chrysalis or their cocoon, the more that metaphor speaks to us. And it speaks powerfully. What a revelation of God that a butterfly will not even be able to live, to survive the day, if it does not do its own struggle. If it does not walk its lonesome valley for itself, it will not have the strength. But I confess that when I looked at the layout of this series and I realized that I had planned to deliver this message on Mother's Day, I thought, uh-oh. Because at first it seemed not to fit to me. What a non-nurturing image. That tough love stuff, I'm telling you. Right? Because it is true. It's true, as I said to the children, that our parents would love to lift the weight for us, or that we wish that God were one who would clear all the obstacles, pull all the hard things right out of our lives, and we wish our parents, when we're young or even when we're not so young, would do the same, and as parents, there's nothing we want more than to do that. Sometimes it's just not possible, and sometimes love means that we know that I can't tie my kid's shoes for his entire life. He's going to learn to tie them himself. I can't take from my daughter every disappointment or hard experience of being a kid in the world, because we have to get strong for ourselves. And God doesn't take from us every hard, difficult experience of our lives, no matter how much we want God to, and no matter how much God might want to. Jesus loved Lazarus. We know that. The people know that. They see it in his face. They see it in his own weeping. What they may not even recognize, but what I recognize hearing this story, more than Jesus loves Lazarus, I see in it how much Jesus loves Mary and Martha, because it is their weeping. When he sees her weeping and all the people around her who are there to support her but can't help but weep themselves, he is moved to tears. He loves these women too. The last thing he wants them to suffer is the loss of their brother. He loves them. We see that in the story. And God is a God who does not want us or wish for us to suffer or will for us to suffer. How easy it is for us to say, like Martha, like Mary, God, if you had been here, if you had interceded, this would not have happened. And yet, Jesus says, this way you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see how strong you are. You're going to see what God can do, how strong God is. Sometimes, you've got to do it for yourself. You've got to stand it for yourself. And yes, there's that old saying that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, and it's corollary, but I wish that God really didn't have quite so much confidence in me. Kind of ease up on that a little bit. It's true. But you have to walk this journey, Martha and Mary, and I'm so sorry that you must walk it. But Jesus doesn't take from them that difficult experience. God doesn't always take from us those difficult experiences. But here's the beauty. Here's the way in which we are not like butterflies emerging from the chrysalis. And we are not like moths emerging from the cocoon. Here's the way in which we are more like my child born under the excellent medical care of a team, and more like Lazarus, born to new life in the presence of a community. Because we are not alone. We do it for ourselves, but we don't do it by ourselves. And that's a huge difference. The butterfly has to break out of the chrysalis for itself to give it strength. Lazarus has to come out of the tomb when Christ calls him. He's got to do that for himself, but he does not do it by himself. There's a community of people awaiting him on the other side. And although he's still bound in grave clothes, Jesus says, not to Lazarus. And Jesus does not do it to himself. Then Jesus turns to the community of people, Lazarus' own community, and says, you, unbind him and set him free. We have something that we are called to do when we are the community. We are called to unbind those who have come through struggle and help them stretch their wings and strengthen them. We do not do that, any one of us, alone. We are called to participate in Christ's act of liberating Lazarus by unbinding Lazarus as his community and setting him free. And for those of us who feel like Lazarus in that moment, born into some new life through a journey of struggle and loss and hardship, we come stumbling, blinking into the light, but we are not alone. There is a community of people waiting for us to unbind us and set us free. God does not remove the obstacles and hardships from our lives any more than we can remove them from one another's lives, much as we might wish to. But God does call us into that new life and equip a community to journey with us, so that none of us comes blinking into the light and finds ourselves alone to test our wings. Instead, we are met by a community that participates in our liberation and its own liberation. We, the church, are the community, the body of Christ, that unbind others for the work, the new life, the possibility before them. Yes, we walk the lonesome valley for ourselves, but we do not walk it by ourselves. In this journey where God frees us, we also free one another, and we welcome one another into new life in the strength and support of community. Thanks be to God for this new birth that is not isolated, this new birth in community where we unbind one another and then begin to test our wings. Amen.